Why are y'all here?
It's a prison?
That's a story.
Y'all supposed to be in Ukraine or somewhere, aren't you? I clean my glasses as well.
It was overbooked.
It was overbooked, so we've been generously compensated.
Generously compensated.
Plus a free cruise in the next 2 years.
Well, what I can tell you is, I was generously compensated at Western System last week.
Boy, hey.
So let's get the scripture up here. Today's sermon message is called Before You Leave. Yeah, it's all right, it's slow this morning. What I'd like to do is, Charmaine so ably read this for us, and it's parts. Part of it is, of course, in here very well. I'd like for us all to read it together real quick, if you would.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God.
Well, let's pray. Father, out of your heart now, speak in this time. Holy Spirit, connect to our hearts and broaden this scripture out into the never-ending timeline of existence. We may realize in this little snapshot of time, our choices have eternal impacts. Come, Holy Spirit, live in every heart in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So the beginning of the scripture says, God did what?
Love.
And so the beginning statement of Christianity is here. And really it's what the world chooses to trip us up on. But here it is. God so loved. And so, it could say, God so loved, but the church shouldn't. Or, God so loved, and so we don't have to. Or, God so loved, and so the rest of what you say, we don't have to hear. But it says, God so loved the world. And then it goes on to explain why it's so big a deal. For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, the only begotten Son. And whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So you go, something's at work here. God's loving, and he's doing this because something is in the balance. Something's going on. There's a balance here. It's not just what we might initially think of. But God did not send him into the world to condemn the world. Why would he be condemning the world? But that the world be saved through him. In other words, there may be a problem, and the problem is that it needs a rescuer, and Jesus, his only Son, is the only one who can do the rescue. And so right now we are alerted to the fact that this verse you see painted on people's eyelids at football games and say it backwards and forwards, it might have more to do with a complicated set of issues. That God so loved, and he sent his Son because his Son was the only one for the job in love. And that there was an issue here, an eternal separation that doesn't need us to condemn people through. And see, the world is yelling at, you condemn, you judge, you this, you that, and we just try our best not to. Because it says, whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe is already condemned. And so we jump all the way back to the first word. Because this Luke tells us here, there was a condemnation. That this whole affair was about removing condemnation. Just like when the days of Noah, people were eating and drinking and giving in marriage and inviting to socials and doing this and that. But the condemnation was coming because it had trampled on God's eternal law. And so a global flood occurred. And humanity, except for a few, perished. We'll get to this. Because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. When God says, I'm going to go in the flesh, And I'm going to make my flesh, my son, bound to my eternal law. In other words, Jesus was judged under the law. And even though, as we believe, he was sinless and blameless and pure as he could be, in ways we can't even understand, he was judged and found guilty for us. And that's why we can't walk away from this. We don't judge. They've judged already. Because the Son came. And according to the law, he was judged. And on our behalf, found guilty for identifying with us. And we leave that part out. And we don't have a God. We have an empty gospel. God is love. God is love. Surfing God is love. God is surfing. God is love. Into the next screen. So I brought a little bit more to support this. Galatians 4, 4 through 7 says it this way, okay? Another way, but the same. But when the fullness of time had come, Jesus came in the span of all this time. He came at the right moment. The precise moment. The moment. Not by accident. God sent his son, born of a woman. And what? Born under the law. Every human being born of a woman, a human, is born under the law. God, you know, scientists love to put laws out there and say, this is a universal law. Here's the law of thermodynamics. Here's the law of gravity. Here's the law. And you know what you're doing? You're reciting the laws of God, how he put the thing together. And then you say, there are no laws. And Jesus was born under the same law we're under, which is the judgment of death. Because God loves free will. He doesn't make robots. He doesn't make automatons. He wants each and every single one to choose freely whether to follow or not. Because of that, the world winds up in what we call the fall. On account of sin, the world has fallen and has God's judgment still on it. And Jesus is the one whose judgment God places judgment on. To redeem those, verse 5, who were under the law. Now, if I have a $5 bottle and it says I can redeem it, what can I do and go do with that bottle? I know young people don't know what that means. What does it mean to old people? He's a nickel. They'll buy back. They'll buy it back. You were in need of a rescue. A rescuer came and he paid a price and he redeemed you out from under the law. To redeem those who are under the law so that they might receive what? Adoption as sons. There are no sons and daughters of God born natural. We're not all God's children. We're all enemies of God. We fail to say that. And they say, you judge. No, you're sitting there boiling under the judgment of God while you point your finger at people calling them judges. Because you were condemned already. To redeem those who were born under the law so they might receive adoption as sons. Now, the reason we left sons in there is because sons occupied a special place in heredity in those days. Even Christian women understand that they have sonship. All the rights, legal rights of a son, according to the context of the scripture, have now been bestowed to women and men together. It's just that sons is really important here. It indicates what has been inherited. Everything. So as sons and daughters of God, we have an inheritance as sons. And you, because you are sons, in verse 6, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. And here's how you know you're different. Doesn't matter if Charlie Kirk is bleeding out on the ground, or whether he's still on his stool, or he's in his home praying with his children. This is how you know you're different. The Spirit of the Son of God Spirit of God has come into you, into our hearts. And now he witnesses and says what? He cries out,
Father.
And that's where the world knows you're different. That's why you don't hear a square peg in a round hole and they can't figure it out no longer. How long they study it and stir it, write it out on paper, try to understand it, put it together. Christians are different because the Son of God has been born into our hearts. The Spirit in us now witnesses to God going, Abba.
Amen.
Doesn't mean you're perfect. Or that you'll never be a hypocrite. You know? It just means something inside of you is going, Father. And so a lot of us didn't have good days. But we recognize the difference in this from what we knew. Okay? So if you're no longer a slave, then you're a slave to what?
Sin.
Born in bondage under slavery to sin, you're destined and doomed from the start. According to the laws of the universe, of God Almighty, who will set every action that is in motion, has an opposite and equal reaction, there will be a finality and a completion to all of those things. Because God abhors chaos. And the tendency of creation now is toward chaos. But if you're a son, then you're an heir. You're an heir of God. Let's get to the next scripture real quick. And so 1 John 3, we're studying in this section. See what kind of love? There are kinds of love. See what kind of love the Father has given us? That we should be called children? That's the kind of love. The reason the world does not know us is because it didn't know Him. Don't be surprised. Don't be outraged. Why do you keep slapping at the world? All we got to do is go and die. Charlie Clerk's wife knows today, and she is happy, even in the midst of her grief, to know that her husband came and died, and that he is alive. She is more certain of his life today than she was a week ago. We want to cry and moan about all the Christians dying. Well, I don't know how you read this book. To me, it's got some pretty death places in there for me and for you both. Quit going around talking about the Bible if you don't know what it says. That's all I'm saying. The reason the world does not know us, it didn't know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now. And what we shall be has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, we'll be like Him.
Amen.
The goal of my life and your life is not to fight political oppression and forces of darkness and evil. Our job is to become like Jesus by beholding Jesus, not the American flag, not the president, not your political party. You are to behold Jesus and be like Jesus at all times, in every situation, on a battlefield, in a political office, in a garden, and at the supermarket. You're to look like Jesus when people look at you.
Yes.
And the world has been condemned already. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm living into this stuff. Okay? When He appears, I hope I look like Him. I'm pretty sure He's not 320 pounds. And everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself as He is pure. When you look into the eyes of a waitress, or somebody in a service job, and you see weariness, tiredness, or even worse yet, they look like this back at you. That's demonic. It means they're demonized. It means they're so wounded, so hurt, so stuck in sin, whatever it is, they are so buried under it that the demons have like a feast every night with them. They're not possessed. They're oppressed. And you don't need to tell them that. You need to point them to freedom. If they see freedom in you, they're going to want it. The longer they see it in you, the more they're going to want it. They're going to go away thinking about it. They may stiff arm Jesus till the day of judgment. But the judgment was already on them. All you can do is communicate Jesus' love. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Lawlessness. You're declaring yourself outside of God's law. And somehow you've created an exception. This is what people keep doing in their virulent responses to Christians. They are saying, oh, there are laws, but I'm outside of those. And it doesn't work that way. And those of us who continue in our patterns of sinning, and again, so much of what goes into a person is not what he's judged by, it's what comes out of that person. And what's coming out of some of us today is not Christ. You're placing yourself under the law. Before you leave, think about it. Think about it. They used to say the Bible was basic instructions before leaving earth. B-I-B-L-E. Before you leave earth, and you will leave earth to an eternity, remember, your family members are under judgment. Your friends are under judgment. The world is under judgment. And God doesn't send anybody to hell. His laws just keep going. And it's the violators and the offenders and those who place themselves outside of the law who condemn themselves. Put them in cuffs. Send them to the place they belong. The judge is not guilty. His laws are perfect. Why not? Because time is short. The end of society as we know it has arrived. We live in a buffer. Out here, we're like in where the water in a lake goes over into a cove, and it's just nice. Yeah. But out on the big water, it's turbulent and bad right now. And you may not know it, but the end of culture is here. Nations come, nations go. The word of God will stand forever.
Amen.
Consider who you are out in the world. And if you're not a disciple for this congregation, consider getting another one. We're not perfect. We have maybe a little more fun than we should. Jesus probably had a lot of fun. Look at Marlon and I.
No, that's not what
I'm
saying.
Consider the kind of Christian you ought to be. Consider the outcomes you want for the people you love. Because one day, while people ate and drank and attended weddings and went to work, the floods came. It says the waters rose out of the deep of the earth. And then rain started. And everybody perished. Every last one. It wasn't God's fault at all. Who will you blame? Consider these things before you leave. Let's take a few minutes. But I hope you didn't have a happy song with what. No, I'm just kidding. Make it up. Whatever. Let's consider these things. Reflect, ask the Holy Spirit to make this message come home to you. And if today is the day that you personally have made a decision and you want to receive Christ into your heart, come in, down here to the altar, raise your hand. I'll come pray with you. Otherwise, the altar is open during this time.